Welcome to Career Tools. This week, getting ready to get promoted, Chapter 2. Here we go. Folks, we've updated our resume workbook. If you're already an owner, you don't need to do anything, but now you've got access for free to an hour-long video explaining how to take a two-page resume down to one. And if you're not an owner, same price as before, we've just added value. And if you're interested to see what it looks like, go to the website and check out our 30-second promotional video showing you a two-page resume, thanks to Wendy's magic, turning magically into one page. Well worth a look. Okay, so we're starting with Chapter 2, because Chapter 1 is so important about results that we wanted to give it its own special series. And what we're trying to do is help people get promoted. It's one of our most frequently asked questions, isn't it?
We've done lots and lots of stuff on transitions, and some people don't want to transition, and actually transitioning between companies and getting promoted at the same time makes the transition more difficult. So now we're going to have, I don't know, a year, 2 years on how to get promoted.
Yeah, it's a common question. We respect those people who don't want a promotion. That's fine. We don't think you need to be promoted just because you're a top performer. There are other things. You need to be able to prove that you're a good manager. And there are things you can do now to start building the right foundation that probably many folks underestimate their signaling effect for companies. In other words, if you have a choice between X and Y, you may not know that Y is considerably more valued in a managerial role than you might imagine. You may be thinking it's all X. So what are we going to focus on today, Wendy?
The three core skills that everyone needs to know: running a meeting, running a project, and managing a budget.
Okay, so let's talk about running a meeting.
We have a series of podcasts. If you go to the all podcast list and control F to do a search and type in meetings, there's a bunch of casts on how to do meetings and guidance on how to do meetings. This isn't step-by-step guidance on how to run a meeting because we've already done that, but we want to make sure you understand why being able to run a meeting is important. And the people that are really good at it make it look like child's play. It's just, you know, they start on time, they finish on time, everybody gets to contribute, nobody talks over each other, there's no talking stick, but they still make sure everyone gets a say. And you think, oh, well, it must be easy then. And then when you do it for yourself and you've got to juggle all those things and contribute and achieve the objective of the meeting, it's a lot more complicated than you think it is.
Two things here that I find interesting. Did I hear you say talking stick?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you actually seen a meeting where they used one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
In my high S organization, yes.
Folks, if you don't know what a talking stick is, I believe at Harkins, I could be completely wrong here, to a Native American tradition where there's a stick, and if you want to talk, you have to be handed the stick. And the beauty of that, in theory, is you don't have people talking over one another. Only one person talks at a time. We can assure you, it's a really not good idea. It slows meetings down. It totally takes away from the feeling of collaboration, the feeling of energy and enthusiasm and so on. And there are plenty of other ways, like you as a facilitator saying, hey, Bob, wait for Jenna to finish. There are plenty of other ways for you to have some structure to the meeting. We don't need to be using tools that are hundreds of years old. And the second thing you said is that it seems easy. And I come across this a lot where people say, well, it seemed like it wasn't going to be that big a deal. And it turned out that it was in many, many aspects of professional life. And it's, to me, it's a function of what I call passive learning. You see someone else doing it. It looks fine. You don't know what they're thinking or how hard they're working. Mm-hmm. And people completely underestimate it because they see it done. It makes sense to them. And then they think they can do it. And folks, the best way you're going to learn is going to be to learn by doing. And for many of you, that means being willing to forgive yourself that the first time you do something, you're not going to do it well. Trust me, everybody else, the first time they did it, they didn't do it well either.
While you're an individual contributor is the best time to learn, because
yes,
the failure then, the sucking then, is going to be a whole lot less risky. It's probably just your team, just your colleagues and your manager. And there's nobody else to see you. You've got to have people in the meeting. Otherwise, you're not running a meeting and you're not practicing with people. You have to do that. So you're never going to be able to do it in a room by yourself until you're good. That's not going to happen. So you are going to have to fail in front of people, but at least these people are probably fairly forgiving. And if your colleagues start giving you a hard time about, oh, you know, wanting to be good and wanting to be better than them and all that, well, if they're not stepping up to learn meetings, then they've got nothing to say to you.
Yeah. But when you get promoted, somebody else is there, right?
Yeah.
And you're running meetings with your peers and other managers. And when you become promoted and you're running a meeting, it's expected you know how to do it. So it's not just that you're doing it with people who aren't aligned with you. You're doing it to a much higher standard. And all the mistakes you make, which are completely legitimate professional lessons for you, look like you failing. Because it's an expectation that you can do it. You've got to learn to run meetings before you get promoted. And the fact that you can run a meeting, this is one of those things that people look at and go, oh, he can run a meeting. That's something managers do.
So learning to run them is a core skill you have to have. So you've got to go find some opportunities to practice. And people seem to think that you have to be secretive about what it is you're doing.
Oh, gosh.
It's just like learning to do anything else. It's just like going on a course to learn Java or HR legal or sales or anything else. You want to learn how to run a meeting. So you say to your boss, I want to learn how to run meetings. How can we work that out? It's not something to kind of go around the back door to find out,
exactly.
You know, to kind of sneak it in. I don't understand why people want to do that, but be straightforward and update it and upfront about it. Absolutely.
I think one of the reasons they do is just to avoid the perception that they're having to learn that they don't know. The idea that nobody knows what you're weak in and that you can learn without anybody knowing that you're learning. The chances of that happening are so small. It's not worth trying. And the confidence it shows when you say, hey, I'm willing to admit I'm not good at it, is far outweighs any potential negative. And yeah, there'll be somebody who'll laugh at you. Fine, let them laugh and get better. And then have them work for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Next is running a project, yeah?
Yeah. I was convinced that everybody, the whole world seems to be a project manager right now. But I actually looked up the most popular job titles in the US. In the middle of 2012, actually, project management is like 22. So my perception that everybody is a project manager was completely wrong. The actual most popular job title in the US is retail salesperson. So if we imagine that's your job, because there's more of them than anything else, and think about how you can have experience running a project. There's promotions all the time. I notice the promotions on chocolate because I like chocolate.
To be clear, when you say promotions, you mean a retail promotion?
Yeah.
Exactly. A marketing promotion. Okay,
yeah.
Got it?
Yeah, and you know, let's imagine your manager hands you the information and tells you to take care of it. Well, the promotion starts on a certain date and it ends on a certain date. Well, that's the definition of project, multiple tasks in a confined time. There's tasks to be done, like putting the stickers on the shelves, and you got to move what's on the shelves to make more space because you need more stock if there's going to be a sale. You might need help from the warehouse people to get stock moved from the warehouse to the shelves and vice versa.
Right.
And so there's a bunch of things to do in a confined space of time. And even if it's only one shift, that is effectively a project. So if you think of it that way...
Make a list of tasks, make a list of deadlines, assign it to yourself. Yeah, admittedly, that's how we start. It's almost like project level zero.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, I've got these 10 things to do. And there's nothing wrong with if you're a retail salesperson, there's nothing wrong with knowing that there's a manual that the store manager or assistant store manager has. Typically in well-regarded retail organizations, they have incredibly detailed checklists for things a manager has to check on or do every day. There's nothing wrong with going through that checklist and finding the 15 things that have to do with the promotion, taking them out, making your own list and say, okay, based on my workload today and these 15 things, what has to happen first and when? When would I assign a deadline and then report to yourself on whether or not it's done? And when your boss asks you whether or not it's done, you hand her the sheet and you say, yeah, I just turned it into a little miniature project and I paid attention to my workload and the lunch rush and so on. And I said, here are the 15 things I have to do and here's the best order for me to do them in. Some things I had to ask for help with, so I did that first. to make things happen at multiple times. And I just went down and checked off the list. And there is one thing that I'm delayed on, and it's this, and I'm waiting for X from the storehouse. And as soon as I get it, I'll let you know, and then we're done. And I got to tell you something, folks. That's different from telling your boss, oh, yeah, I got all that stuff done. It's completely different. It sends a message that you're organized, that you understand what projects are, that you manage tasks based on deadlines and who's going to do it and workload and so on. It shows you can plan and it shows you can execute, which is what project management is.
If you were interviewing for your next job and it was a $150,000 a year program manager job, you're not going to use that example. But if you're moving from retail to retail management or retail to an office junior, an office clerk role, it will be an absolutely fine example to use in an interview.
Yeah.
Because it demonstrates that you've learned how to run a project. And it's small, but it's still a project. As you get to be a manager, the projects that you run will be bigger and more complex. And the other thing is to say you want to have a stepping stone. You don't want to suddenly go from naught to running a $1 million project over a year, because guaranteed failure. And the other thing is, as a manager, you have to, part of your job is to increase the experience of your directs, and your experience of doing their projects on their level is going to help them.
Right. It makes them look good.
Yeah. It's much harder to teach someone how to do something if you've never done it. It's possible, but it is harder.
And look, if you're a retail manager, we just told you how to help your people learn how to do project management. Give them your checklist, copy it for them. Say there's probably 10 or 15 things that have to be done in the next 2 days for the promotion on chocolate. Go through the list, find them, write them down, type them up if you want, put them in Excel if you want, assign them to yourself or to somebody else, assign them deadlines, and then let me know what the deadlines are, and then report to me middle of the day today, middle of the day, or end of the day today, first thing tomorrow morning, middle of the day tomorrow, end of the day tomorrow, and let me know whether or not you're going to meet your deadline and if you've got anything that you need help with. That's how you do it. And you give them a project that's super simple, and you give them something a little bit more complex and a little bit more complex. And folks, if you try to learn how to manage a project as a manager, the same thing applies as running a meeting. You're expected to know how to do it. What's more, now you have people above you and below you asking questions, interrupting, and so on. And so your ability to learn is a lot harder. And in the first year you're a manager, you're going to feel like you're in over your head if your experience is like so many other managers in the world. If you're in over your head and you're learning project management as well, that just doesn't make sense as a professional.
Making life harder for yourself.
Yeah. And then finally, managing a budget.
So this is probably the hardest one to get experience of, because we've seen the trend in companies to hold the budgets higher and higher up the organization. So where once all the frontline managers had budget, in some companies it's now only the people that work that report to the C-suite. So you have to be a long way up before you've got any project budget. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try and get some experience, because you might move to a company that's different and does give get budget to lower level managers. So, and you don't want to go from zero experience to managing $1 million, because it's really different to managing your own bank account.
Well, yeah, and the issue with managing $1 million, if you make a mistake because you're learning, it costs the company money, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I don't know. I think of that as not good, all yes. things being equal.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You can also get this through managing. Budgets often come with projects as project experience grows, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes projects have a specific budget or the allocated time budgets or whatever. So you can work with those and that will give you some experience. Or if not, and your boss has a budget, you can ask him if you can work with him on it or do the first run on it and have him critique you and tell you what he would have done differently. You can find a friend in finance who has everybody's budgets, knows about everybody's budgets, and ask him to tell you what he can without telling you stuff that's confidential, but say, hey, this is how the best people in the company do it. This is the person I really like because he's really organized and he does X, Y, and Z.
Right.
This is the person I hate because they do A, B, and C, and it drives me crazy. At least you'd know how budgets should be sent into finance, at least in your company. And you can get experience of all of these things outside of work as well. So, you know, church or school or whatever other outside activities that you have, they're not perfect because they're not work and they're probably much smaller budgets, projects, meetings, you know, they're less important. in one sense, in that your livelihood doesn't depend on them.
Right.
But they're all experience. And it gives you that little step up on everybody else who isn't doing this.
Something else you can do is when your boss assigns you a project that takes several weeks, for instance, or is a little bit longer in scope, involves some other people, always ask, is there a budget?
Yeah.
And if your boss says, hey, yeah, just come to me when you need some money. It shouldn't cost more than $500. Say, well, can I ask for a budget? Not because I'm going to spend it, but just because I want to get used to managing a budget. Something else you can do. Gee whiz, ask your boss, hey, you're going through budget time. And now, you don't want to do this if you're a bottom performer and you're worried about your job. But if you're in the top 20% or the top third of the people who report to your boss, say, hey, look, I know you're going to be going through budget process pretty soon. Can I at least see it? Now, there's a downside there, which is budget usually includes salaries, and those are confidential. And sometimes you're asking your boss for extra work. So the higher you are up on the results food chain working for your boss, in other words, if you're his or her top performer, it's much easier for them to give you a little bit of leeway or to be willing to spend the time to X out those cells in the budget Excel spreadsheet that they've got to work with. And heck, if nothing else, go to somebody in your company or go to your intranet, and I bet you there's a whole entire page on how to manage a budget for managers. Why not read it? And then ask a question or two in a meeting, and then have your boss say, why are you asking about budget? Say, well, I know that budgets are really important for managers, and it's something we've talked about before, or it's something I'm interested in, at least becoming aware of it. I certainly don't want to overstep. And I know that budgets matter.
I have a feeling that thing about you have to be getting good results and being a top performer first is going to be a theme of these casts.
Of chapter one, even. Yeah.
Of chapter all of them.
Yeah.
So shall I sum up?
Yeah, please.
So the three things you need experience of are running a meeting, running a project, and managing a budget. And we're going to have a whole cast on volunteering for tasks. But for now, just start looking for chances to get experience in those three activities. Even if you're in your first job and you think, I'm not going to be a manager for like 10 years. Well, it doesn't matter. You can still start now and you might get there in seven because you're already starting.
And why dismiss the idea that if there are 35 things to learn, I'm making that number up. Why dismiss the idea that it would be better to learn them over 10 years than in one?
Yeah.
Right? Sooner is better. And you'll have more opportunity. You'll be that much better when you're a manager. Okay. Thanks, Winnie.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be returning to how to help yourself get promoted in the future in a long series of things you need to do. Hope this was a good chapter 2.